previously.
Again, to the extent that it is a change, it was not within the scope of our intended modifications.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, I would move to reinstate that limit on line 2, page 5, section 12 of the bill. Provide after the phrase punitive damages. Up to an amount of $1,000.
Discussion? Objection? Any further or some more?
No, I think that the
Chair moves the amendments as amended to the bill as reflected on the Hannon Gross version distributed to the subcommittee. Is there any objection to the adoption of amendments? Chair moves that House Bill 2717 as amended be reported to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Hill?
Aye.
Bomber?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Ringer?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you both very much. Now, for the information of the subcommittee and anyone else who's here on the juvenile law material, the package, assuming all the amendments we've been made over the past week or so will be ready, is scheduled for full committee work session on Wednesday, is it?
The juvenile ones are on Monday.
Monday?
Mm-hmm. Aren't they?
I thought we...
I'll double-check and I'm quite sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that will be a four-bill package. It will be five bills, actually. An omnibus bill, remand, the two bills dealing with...
parental jurisdiction, I think you wanted to keep separately.
Oh, that's right. Then we have the two bills dealing with the consequences of, well, the misrepresentation of age, offenses involving...
Alcohol
or control substances,
yeah.
And then the this bill, five bill action, or six. Okay, now on the DUI package, we have some persons who are signed to testify. Stephanie Pump, would you like to come up? Let me make a couple of preliminary comments which may help to the scope of your remarks. There are going to be two or three bills that Representative Lombard, we have met also on this package in the wake of the earlier hearing and have some recommendations which could change in the wake of any other comments today, but I think there are two that probably will not. Let me mention those now because they're going to involve tabling the bills. One is the bill dealing with tax on wholesale level sales of intoxicating liquor and the creation of a DUII board. I think that Representative Lombard spoke with both Representative Troop, Representative Zajonc,
and Representative Ford.
And it's agreed at this point among those players, most importantly, I guess Representative Troop, that there's really no likelihood in this session that such a tax would be approved by the committee. The Revenue Committee, and that this entire issue and structure should be considered in more detail and refined during the interim. Secondly, we are going to recommend that the bill dealing with
THC.
Where is it?
The THC.
Which one is it?
Well, it's
2826. That we would recommend that the committee not yet approve that kind of change, that it be subject to some further study. And that with Representative Markham's approval, which Representative Lombard has obtained, we would use that bill as a vehicle for an additional task force bill concerning certain changes in the procedure from the refusal to take, is it
Well, it's implied consent.
It's implied consent, yeah. That bill has only come up in the last couple of days from legislative council. So those two bills, as now before us, are for tax purposes not part of any package. John, did you hear my earlier comment? We're going to table the tax bill.
No.
So if you want to go home early, at least I think we are.
I think I'll stay.
Just in case, all right.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's do one more.
In all fairness, let me add on the tax bill, too, that one of the things that we looked at was the volume of money to be raised by it in 1 year, potentially over $13 million. The bill as drafted is so general that there are really no guidelines in the bill. Now, I would say this, Mr. Chairman, if the witnesses who have come here have some brief general comments about it, that I think would be fine to, at least here, entertain those comments. But it was apparent to myself and to others that dealing with that volume of money, and also talking with Representative Troop, that the Revenue Committee would want considerably more substantive direction as to who was to get the funds, how they were to be expended, and for what purposes, and so forth. The bill in its present form is not sufficiently detailed to do that. We figured quite candidly and quite honestly that in the time that we have in trying to deal with the balance of this DUI package, the time that it's going to take us to work on the package, and to try to coordinate and correlate with what we're getting from the Senate, that we probably would not have time to develop fully the tax bill and at the same time get it down to revenue for them to pass this out. In addition, as the chairman said, the attitude about adding additional taxes at this point is less than positive. But it's an idea and a concept that we would like to, I think, be studied further, developed further by you and by the proponents of that board, so that we do have a better idea of what such a board would do and really what the whole particulars would be.
Enough said. Thank you, Mr. Wilmer. Let me ask before you start, which of these bills are on the table? Did you hear that list?
All except for the last two, Mr. Chair. I don't hear if you go ahead and untable all except for the last two, I will check it. I can go through it this way. Can we do them one by one?
Yeah.
Not necessarily in order. 2078 is on the table.
Okay.
2166 is on the table. 2540 is on the table. 2861 is on the table. 2809 is on the table. 2826 is on the table. 2420 is on the table. Is that all of them? I mean, is that all the bills?
295.
They're all except the ones that aren't on the table.
2956 and 2974? The last two. They're,
right.
They're not?
Those are all right.
Chairman moves to untable the 2420, 2078, 2166.
Good afternoon. I'm Stephanie Pump, Legislative Chairman for the Oregon State Council on Alcohol and Drug Problems and the Oregon Substance Abuse Professionals Association. Your comments previous to the beginning of the hearing eliminates a page and a half, so you're lucky. if I may, I'd like to take Representative Lombard up on the offer to speak a little bit to 2956 in particular. Conceptually, many of us support that bill as well, but find ourselves in agreement with you, and many of my comments were the same as yours. I think we can generate less revenue and get the job done and tighten it up and specify who would have the authority. Rather than duplicating it, I would recommend that that go to the Mental Health Division. But if you do consider that later, I hope you put the word out, because many of us would like to comment on that. 2166 seems fine as written until you consider cases which may be the exception rather than the rule. Of concern is the fact that individuals won't receive a full hearing in a court of law when the need to do so may be justified. 2540, while there is overall support for this bill, we would like to see stronger language on line 9, page 2. Attempt to manage seems to leave the door open for acceptable poor management. Diversion is a privilege, and it behooves all facets of the system to manage programs and monitor divertees efficiently, including the courts. 2974 is unfortunately a necessary housekeeping bill, given the reality of inconsistent court application of the existing statute. It will likely decrease the number of those eligible for diversion, which is unfortunate, considering one intent of diversion is early intervention and another was to clear the court's dockets. If court application were consistent, this bill wouldn't be necessary, but with it we defeat two major purposes and sabotage the original intent. In section 3, lines 26 to 28, page 3, we would prefer you allow a defendant who has injured only him or herself or property to be eligible for diversion. Again, a major goal is the early intervention of the problem drinker. Those individuals should not be excluded, as we have more impact and gain longer-term benefits when we educate and treat and monitor. And as they've injured no one but themselves, we see no reason why they should be excluded. 2420, the amendments in section 1 and 2 are supported. Very frankly, concerns with other sections are difficult to raise as they appear self-serving. An impact statement shows that a program's workload would increase by one-third. This does not include the impact realized if, in fact, the BAC levels were reduced to 0.08. Programs are already overloaded. Perhaps a happy medium could be found between what is and what this bill and 2809 would propose. Use of the phrase fails to complete on line 8 of section 4, page 4, should be clarified. Monitoring an occupational licensee is particularly risky and difficult. Clearer direction and statement of intent, particularly with regard to revocation, would help those staff who assume the risk of monitoring this individual. Criteria should be established to determine what completion is and whether it includes the notion of successful or neutral completions. Taken at face value, a 0.08 BAC level can be supported by research, recent evolving community standards, professional lay groups. Hopefully, this would even increase whatever deterrent influence we collectively hold. This is a political and ethical issue I'm sure you will have to weigh carefully. I'm not sure if any of you noticed, but in the Oregonian this morning, an appellate court in California struck down the 0.10. I'm sure that is a ball of fire we'll all hear more about in the near future. 2809 is supportive, but please note the workload increase issues discussed above remain the same with this bill. 2078 and 2861 are also supported. Thank you.
Why did they strike it?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Springer,
I would appreciate it if you have an opportunity, maybe leaving copies of your statement or your prepared remarks, even though some of it may be subsumed with your other comments. It would be very helpful, I think, as we try to follow these bills. And I trust that you're available if we have any questions or follow up.
Yes, if you would, we appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Representative Schoon's office is here.
My name is Robin Wilton. I'm Representative Schoon's legislative aide, and Representative Schoon had some amendments drafted. Do you have those in front of you?
Which
bill? 2420.
I thought we got those from Representative Farmer. Are these the 2420-1?
I don't have enough copies. Did you bring enough copies?
2019-2.
I brought up the number of copies I received from Legislative Council. I wasn't sure on the procedure. What the amendments do is delete the 0.10% language from the bill and insert any. So what the law would read is that if you drive with any level of alcohol in your system, you're committing an infraction. You're breaking the law. And Representative Schoon believes that the problem begins with the first drink. And the first drink leads to more serious problems that are addressed under drunk driving statutes and laws. And he would like to see the limit until all people that have been drinking.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the amendments. Rich Brook? Yeah, he was here on 2826.
That's Martin's bill. That's Martin's
bill. We're gonna disembowel that bill anyway, so at least that's the recommendation. So I don't think it'll be necessary to take any testimony on the bill as it now
exists. To use Representative Markham's maybe tongue.
With his permission.
He won't know what you mean anyway.
That's a terrible word. Mr. Chair, I would only say that publicly for the reason that in talking to some people who also did not have an opportunity to testify on that bill, it's become quite apparent that there's great disagreement among the experts. And we're not going to sit here and sift out the battle of the experts between now and June 30th. So Representative Markham agreed that that probably ought to go into the interim and look at the scientific aspects of it.
There was no, my remarks were intended to indicate that the bill wasn't regarded as an important proposal, but we did reach that judgment and he agreed and also concurred that we might use that bill for the new task force bill that has just arrived, which we'll look at here in a moment.
Jack, you and Pat want to testify on these? We didn't get your names on the sign-up list.
Mr. Chairman and members of our legislature, we're pleased to be here before you today. We are Jack and Pat Dowdy of Ashland, Oregon, and we are volunteers. We are very much concerned for our beautiful state of Oregon. We are thrilled that Oregon in the past has passed some very tough legislation. And we know that since you are not full-time legislators, that you have worked very hard in the past and you are now working very hard. We have some very fine legislation coming from other states, but I must say this, Oregon, to my estimation, has topped many of our states who have full-time legislators. With that in mind, I would like to say that internally, my stomach does flip-flops when I consider legislation on DUI, because I am a firm believer that if you drive, you do not drink, or if you drink, you do not drive. And I am constantly aware of the mechanism that goes on in legislation where we have to give and we have to give. And we have to give. Now, I'm specifically speaking of the .10. I feel that that is way too high. I think that every bill that comes across, we're going to give, and we're going to give to the .08. And I am pleased to say that Australia has a .05, of which you are all very well aware. And the only reason that we do not come before you to ask for a .05 now is because we feel we have to give a little. And that's sad. It really is. I think the old law that says a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye, and in Arabia today, if a person is caught stealing something that is of value, such as a bag of rice, the right hand is severed. And I feel where women such as Mad have lost their loved ones, that people have to learn to pay for irresponsibility. Now, it frightens me to drive on the streets of Oregon when I know that one out of every two people within a lifetime will be involved in a serious accident. Every time I get into the car to come up here on my volunteer journey with my spouse sitting beside me, I say, is today the day? I could go on and I could tell you that we are going to lose funds, federally appointed funds that are in the bank, gaining interest, and are earmarked for Oregon, if we will but say to the drunk driver, you are now suspended immediately. Your license is now suspended immediately. And we are quibbling over such bills as a penny a drink tax, a $13.7 million a year tax. A lot of people say, what are we going to do with that tax? And I'm telling you that we have enforcement problems that you all are very aware of. We have educational problems, which you are all aware of. We have marijuana fields that our Jackson County Sheriff is very well aware of and who considers it a problem, and who other county sheriffs consider a problem. But we do not have the enforcement capability of eradicating those fields from Oregon, and the situation is getting worse. 13.7 million dollars is a drop in the bucket. But now we are getting into financial problems which our DMV say are very serious, and therefore some of our bills should not be passed. Other organizations say are very serious and should not be passed. But before you consider not passing these bills, I would say to you that you would consider Minnesota. The Minnesota laws have proven that suspension, immediate suspension, works, and it does not flood the courts, and it does not cost more money. Now, if you have not heard about the Minnesota law, I'm sure that Jerry from the Oregon Traffic Safety Commission can fill you in on that. And without taking up more of your time, I would like to turn the rest of the time over to Jack, the better half of the Dowdy family.
Don't you believe it? Jack Dowdy. I was interested about the problem of that tax money, that it's going to take time. And I'm a volunteer, and I've been a volunteer for the last 15 years of my life. I'm a safety engineer. I volunteer all that time for saving lives. I know I would be very happy to volunteer, to work as many hours as necessary to revise that bill, to put the things in you want, if you tell us what you want in it, what you don't understand, or what you need direction on. I'm sure that this whole group sitting back here will work tonight, tomorrow, and the next night to give you the figures you need, or whatever you want in there. But I'd like to speak first on the Bill 2078, in which a young man last Wednesday said that the cost of putting a man in prison and taking care of him was too high, and therefore we shouldn't pass such a bill. I think he was off on the wrong track, because I have figures here to show that in 1981 alone, our cost for maiming accidents and for deaths and injuries was $629,983,676. Now that would take care of an awful lot of imprisonment. And considering that at least half of our drivers are intoxicated, that leaves $315 million cost is attributed to drunken drivers on our highways. Again, I say that would take care of a lot of putting people in prison. So it's pretty cost effective as far as this bill is concerned if we get these people off the highway and stop drinking driving. I'd like to share a personal experience that happened within the last 2 or 3 months in which my wife and I involved with a drunken driver to show how ineffective our laws are. Pat and I were returning in the morning, in the early morning hours, I'd say probably 10 o'clock, long before you expect a man to be stoned out of his gourd. We were approaching the Medford southbound exit when on the second exit, when we saw a young man come hurtling down, heading straight toward us on the exit. He was heading, going to go south, or go north on the southbound lane. I took my car and headed right at him, hoping I could evade him or hoping I could stop him. Well, throwing on my lights and heading right at him, shook him enough that he went into the grass, whirled around, he put on his brakes, and found himself heading the other way. So he went back out in front of us. We followed him. He went to the first parking place, which was the pizza parlor, went in there and didn't even get into a parking place, but stopped. I got out of my car and pulled his keys out, started talking to him, and said, "Pat, call a policeman." Well, this man, in the very few minutes I tried to reason with him, passed out. He was so stoned, he passed out. Policeman came in, took him 5 minutes to wake him. We followed that incident to see what happened. Nothing happened. He passed the breathalyzer, nothing on him at all. So he went out free. They couldn't prove the case. But this young man probably today or sometime since, because I didn't get his name, I just turned him over to the policeman, is probably heading south on a northbound lane, or maybe already has. And he'll kill somebody or kill himself. I just cite this to show that our current laws are not doing the job. And if we don't do it, don't do something about it, that man and others just like him are going to kill others. I've attended countless seminars and university and training programs with thousands of other men and women engaged in professional accident prevention as I have been. We've constantly lowered accidents and injury rates in every category except for one, drunken driving. We've never been able to curb it. And one of the reasons for that failure has been our failure to counteract the tremendous advertising programs put on by the alcohol distillers in their industries. They put out the image all the time that it's macho to go ahead and booze it up at a party. If you're going to have good recreation, if you're going to be a good athlete, if you're going to go to a dance or have a good time, you're going to have to booze it up or you're not making it. So we've never been able to counteract that. And as a result, some of our judges, some of our legislators, some of our attorneys, some of our very best people have socially accepted drinking and driving that's okay. And unless we turn that around, we're never going to stop it. And this general concept of giving up has went along for a long time. Like I say, I've retired for 45 years, I've fought the problem. 15 years as retired and a volunteer. But thank God safety engineers haven't given up. A very few mad victims did not give up. And they're going to fight this thing until we do something about it. And they're universally saying, we're saying, stop it. We've had enough. We won't go any farther. The President of the United States has said it. The U.S. Congress is saying it. And the people all over the United States are saying it. Do something. We now have bills before you that finally will solve the problem. The problems we've been unable to solve. We have bills that will rehabilitate the drunk. We have bills that will take them off the highway, and we have a bill that will raise finance in order to finance the problem. And all I'm saying to you, begging you, imploring you, do something about it. Stop it now. Don't let it go any farther. If you need any help to get any of these bills straightened out, I'll stay with you all night tonight, all day tomorrow, and I'm sure others will too. Thank you very much.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your... Thanks for coming back today. I apologize we had to inconvenience you on Wednesday because of the cutoff of our time for the caucus. What I'd like to do now is, with Linda's assistance, review the efforts that Representative Lombard and I made to address this total package from the standpoint of constructing a potential House package, which bears in mind that we have coming from the Senate three bills, at least I think they're going to be three, that will deal with a variety of issues, including the question of changes pertaining to the federal funds eligibility. And when Linda returns, in a moment we'll start that process and go over how Representative Lombard and I would recommend